1 Corinthians 10:1, because he's going to be right every time. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Paul is writing to his first letter to the Corinthian church, and he's going to go all the way back and reference the Old Testament concerning Moses, and he's going to relate Christ with Moses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses, meaning they were all covered by Moses. Moses is the one that led them. Baptized means to be completely immersed or to completely covered. They were under Moses' law and rulership. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Man, they went under the cloud, and the sea was even, they were even over under the sea. The sea went up as a wall to them, and they walked through it. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. Wow. Raised in the same house, same tent, same wilderness, same meat, same drink. And all did drink the same. What kind of drink is that? Now, I got to back up because I missed a very important word. They did all eat that same. What kind of meat was it? Veal cutlet, T-bone steaks. They didn't call it manna here, did they? They didn't call it manna. He said they all ate that same spiritual meat. So Paul is writing. See, he's showing us something, that it wasn't just manna. It wasn't just what is it, bread. It was spiritual meat. They all did drink the same. What kind of drink was it? Martinis or Kool-Aid or no, it was spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual what? That I didn't know you could drink a rock, but they drank a rock. And it was a capital rock. I want you to see that. It's a capital rock that followed them. I didn't know a rock could move, but it followed them. Oh, here's why. And that rock was Christ. That rock, he said, that was back then was Christ. Man, what a parallel we're going to find out here tonight. That rock that followed them was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our, what, examples. Examples. It's like the doctor gives you, here's a sample of this. You know, I know now. You find out if it works or it doesn't work. This is an example. It is a illustration to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Lust is not always this sexual desire. Lust is just a desire for things that you don't have faith for, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As is written, the people sat down to eat that spiritual meat. They sat down to drink that spiritual drink that came out of that rock. But they rose up to play. That word play also means lust. If you look up the word lasciviousness, it means to be playful. So I want to talk about Moses being caught. And maybe there's some Moses situations here. Caught between the capital rock. See, he's caught between the rock and a bunch of hard people. Caught between the rock and the hard place. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for your word. Glory to God. It was made flesh and they called his name Jesus. Dwelled among men. He saved us from our sins. You're still doing that today after over 2,000 years. Your blood will never lose its power. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate that. We will be working on the lighting shortly. We met with some lighting engineers today. I know that I moved that light 10 feet and it caused all kinds of problems. I thought I wanted y'all to see me better, and thank you. I look better, but we're going to work on the lighting, and it's quite expensive. That's why I've delayed it. I wanted to get all the other things paid for. We had plenty of cushion, and so the Lord's blessed us, and you're going to see quite a change in this platform and how it looks in a few weeks. The New Testament clearly tells us that the Old Testament was types and shadows and figures, illustrations of things to come in the New Testament. And even here in this scripture, it says it was an example. Another place it called it like samples. It was just something that, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you taste, I want to show you. And he showed us like he did in parables. The Old Testament, he would show us how it would be in the New Testament. It was the physical and it was the spiritual in the New Testament. So he says, in the Old Testament, it was like a rock, but in the New Testament, it was a spiritual rock. And so the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net cast into the sea, but it's like this, the angel shall come down and sever the wicked from the righteous. So he begins these comparisons. So Paul has given us a very neat typology of Moses and his relationship to Christ and the rock and what they did after they got the water out of the rock. And so he said, I'm giving you this for an example, that you don't do what they did. Hallelujah. So Moses in our text represents how we live in this world, and it clearly states that that rock followed them. It followed them in the wilderness, in their dry times, and when they needed water, it showed up. And that actual rock was not really, it was really a rock in the Old Testament, but we understand in the New Testament that rock was Christ. It was a figure and a type and a shadow of Christ or things to come. So in this text, we get to see how Moses interacts with a complaining bunch of people, murmuring bunch of people, and how he interacts with a spiritual rock. There's nothing can get you more unspiritual quick than complaining people. I don't know of anything that can make you quickly not spiritual any quicker than people complaining. And this is an example of how we should interact. Now, whether you know it or not, there are three wheels in the world outside, and I'm not calling the devil. I don't want to count him tonight. There's three wheels. There is the will of God, there is your will, and there are others' will. You see? There are times people want you to do things against your will, right? And against God's will. So how do we juggle everybody's will? And sometimes when we try to juggle that, we find ourselves caught between this rock and the hard place. And so we're going to discover tonight that this leader Moses, he was a great man, a meek man, but he finds himself caught between the will of God, what he wants to do, and what they want to do. And now he's stuck. Leaders are always stuck. I don't know if you know it or not. Leaders are always stuck. They're stuck between what you complain about or what you want and what you desire and what they can provide to you, and then they got to answer to somebody else. And in my case here, I answer mostly to God, and of course, y'all are not complaining people, but thank God you're not. I'd leave. I can't stand complaining. One of us have to leave, I can tell you that. Moses just had to lead these people out of, he's just led them out of Egypt bondage, and they crossed the Red Sea. They're baptized, if you will, in the Red Sea because they crossed under it. And they come out on dry land, and Brother Johnson, when they came out, they had the tambourines, they had music going, they were shouting and dancing because the enemies which you see, you will not see anymore. And the Bible says, and that chapter starts off like this, and then sang they the songs of Zion. Wow, they were in a place where they couldn't sing the songs of Zion. It felt good to sing, I'll fly away. And truly, they couldn't sing that. They were so liberated. But liberation also brings something else called responsibility. Yeah, you can keep a guy in jail for 30 years. That's good. Let him out. You better have a job waiting on him because he don't know what to do. And because he don't know what to do and he's got a bad record, then nobody wants him. He goes back to jail because he said, hey, it was better for me in jail than it was here. So liberation carries responsibility. And so here they are liberated, and they're singing about these songs of Zion, only to turn around in a few days, like, where's the water at, Moses? Did you bring a canteen with you? Where we got them Vienna sausages? They even look good to me today. I've told y'all, I hate Vienna sausages, especially them barbecue ones. One time I was fishing, and I had some of those. I'd forgot they were. I think somebody else left them in the bag like the day before we went fishing. I got so hungry, I forgot to bring anything to eat. And I opened that bag, and I looked, and I'm like, nah, I can't eat that. So I tried to refuse it. But after a while, them barbecue things started talking to me, like, just give me one more chance. Just give me one more chance. So I popped them things open, and it looks like jelly. It looked like they take jellyfish, what do they call them? Jellyfish, and pack them in that, you know. And so I pulled up one of them out, and I took a bite, and I said, I can't do this. I'm just going to be hungry. And I took the rest of them, and I shook them in the water for the turtles to eat. And so, but you get so desperate, you know, you just about eat anything. I have drank water out of probably unsanitary places. I just got so thirsty. It didn't really matter at that point. It's like almost like Esau said, what good is this going to, my birthright going to do me if I die? So he said, give me the beans. I mean, you've been there? I know we fault him, but the problem was he should have bumped old Jacob on the head and went ahead and ate his beans anyway, apologized later. He was stronger than Jacob. He just said, sit aside, I'll eat your beans anyway. But instead, he sold his birthright. So Moses has this huge task ahead of him trying to please this mixed multitude. It's not just Israelites. There's some Egyptians mixed in there too. And this mixed multitude, the Bible said, came out of Egypt. And anytime you get a number of people into one body, do you know what that the definition of? I love Tuesday nights. How about y'all? You get to learn so many things. When you get the Bible, not the Bible, Webster, Brother Webster says that when you get a number of persons together, associated together in one body, what is it called? It's called a university. That's what it's called. It's called a university. And I want to welcome all of you to the University of Life. Right? We're all in one body. We're all in this same world. We're all going to eat the same thing. We're all going to drink the same thing. And it's what you do afterwards. Life is a teacher. There's nothing will shut your mouth up more than life. And you can say all you want to. My kids would never do that. Well, how old are your kids? 3? Yeah, because when they get older, you say, well, I don't think they would. I don't think they would, you know. You start putting in these disclaimers, you know, these little protective clauses all of a sudden, you know, to protect yourself. So at church is a university, a job is a university, a school. All these things are schoolmasters. And the Old Testament was a university, if you will, of hard knocks. I mean, it was hard knocks. And here we live in America, and I think there's really a dissatisfaction to having things so easy. Because when you got it easy, you don't pray like you used to pray. Because you used to have to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And now we like don't even pray over our food, some people. And they got plenty of it. And so we have to be careful. Life's got a way of turning on you. No sooner they've been liberated, they found there's no food, there's no water. So who'd they turn on? Their instructor in the university. They turned on Professor Moses. Hey, what are you doing getting us out of here? The garlic and the onions, I wish to God we would have died back there. Because what you got us out here where there was no graves in Egypt. That's what you did, you rascal. You got us over here. They forgot it was God that opened up the Red Sea. They forgot that there's no way Moses could do that. They're forgetting all that. They're just looking at their leader and going, and Moses is getting stuck between the rock and the hard place. Because he's catching the blame. So Moses goes to the Lord, and the Lord instructs him. This is the very first time that they hit a dry spot. And he told him, now listen close. He told him, he said, that rod that you used to strike the river with, which was the Red Sea. He said, that rod you used and it parted the waters. He said, use that and strike the rock. There's a typology there. What he struck was water. What came out of the rock was, so what a man meets out, that shall he also receive. All kinds of typology. So he used this rod. He said, take that rod that you struck that water with and strike this rock, and this rock will bring forth the water that once parted. And so Moses listens to the Lord, and it's a typology. Now stay with me. It's a typology of Christ being smitten. Because that rock was what? Didn't I read that to you? It was Christ. So he's saying, "Less Moses, you're my man. You're my instructor. You're the teacher and the professor in the wilderness. So I'm going to tell you, tell them, watch, I'm going to strike the rock." Because when we get to Paul's time and Peter's time and all that, that's going to be a wonderful illustration to show them how that I was smitten and how that I, out of my bleeding side. This is going to be great. This is going to be good, Moses. So strike the rock. And so Moses takes this rod and he strikes the rock. And out of that rock came forth abundance of water. So he's showing us a typology that when Christ was smitten by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Out of his side, when they poked it, came forth blood and water. So that we see now a typology. There's an abundance that came out of him of healing power. That what they asked for, now listen close, what they asked for, they could receive. Only because he was smitten. So upon Christ's death, if we kind of look at this typology, you look at it, on the cross, Christ finally cried out. He said, "It is finished." I've always heard, don't beat a dead horse. You don't beat a dead man either. It's finished. It's finished. Why beat him anymore? And so this rock that they were beating was the spiritual rock. And Moses was going to give the children of Israel a typology, or we could see an example, because this was given to us, Paul said, for an example to see. And this rock, once it was smitten, it went into the grave, into the earth, and it came out different than it went in. So much different that even the men on the road to Emmaus walked with him and said, "Hey, have you heard about this guy that was supposed to rise on the third day? Have you heard about it?" And he said, "Tell me more." Well, it was him. And they're, "Oh, you haven't heard? Well, come on in. We'll stop here and eat." And it wasn't until he broke bread that they recognized him, because he had changed so much from being the scarred, bruised up man. The Bible says he was marred more than any man. But when they looked at him, I don't know if they saw scars or what they did or didn't see, but I know they didn't recognize him. So the rock took on a glorified form, and it changed into something that it was not. It's still the rock, but now it's different than it was when it was struck. And so we're seeing here this typology. No wonder Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If you knew who's asking you, you would get water for him. Because this water you drink of, you will thirst again and come back. But if you knew, you would ask of me." Now watch. "You will talk to me." You're not going to strike me. You're going to talk to me. And you're going to ask me to give you this water. And that woman said, "Give me this water, that if I drink of it, I will never thirst again." Wow. See the typology here. And so Christ is that rock. And he is showing us that it will come the time that you only need to speak to him and not to strike him. So this typology becomes very clear that Christ was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. And it was angry, now watch, it was angry people that beat him. We don't need Moses doing it again. He was beaten with angry people. But because of their anger toward him, out of him flowed living water, a blood that never lost its power. And so let's carry it a little bit further in this journey. So Moses now has given them the water. He has struck the rock, and it's like, "Whoo, thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Man, they was about ready to stone me and Aaron here." And so, but you know what? Sometimes you face the same thing over again. And I don't have time to tell you the story, but many times the Lord told them, the way you did it the first time is not the way we're going to do it second time. Too many times we think if it worked the first time, it'll work the second time. But the Lord doesn't work that way. He only opened the Red Sea one time, Jordan River the one time, and so forth. Many, many things like that he did one time. And so I want to catch this. I know it's a little lengthy reading, but I want you to this is just Bible study. So let's go to Numbers 20 and 1. Because this is the second time. "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there." It's a hard place. "And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron." This is a hard bunch of people. "And the people chose," or they argued with Moses, and said, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord." And you see, they could be referring to when Korah. You remember when Korah came up and he had a group of people. They were going to challenge Moses. You remember that? And the earth swallowed a bunch of them up. And they're like saying, "I just wish we'd have died then, rather than die this thirst you brought us out here to. And why have ye brought up the congregation, Lord, in this wilderness, and we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come out of Egypt?" You made us? Wait a minute. You put on your own hackberry high slippers and cross the Red Sea. I didn't make you do that. You just followed me over there to bring up.